Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Okay, so you've done everything that you can do to start generating some excitement in your church. Oh, by the way, I keep forgetting to do this. It's Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton.
That's the reason we hired you, Hurst.
I know.
You're to be the announcer.
I know.
And you say, this
we've
is
got you
Dan
recorded.
Hurst.
You've already done it. You got the intro on
Well, there is you're the gonna, intro recorded.
Yeah.
That's true.
But you're Dan. I'm Mark. That's Kyle.
Kyle Bierman over there. So welcome to the podcast, by the way, Kyle. It's nice to have you on here.
Yeah, he's here
it's
in place of...
It's great to be on the mic.
It
place
is.
In place of Mark Halleck, who is away... On the sabbatical.
I can do my Mark. Hey, bud.
Hey,
good
bud.
To see you, bud.
Hey, bud.
You got to hug us, the one you're doing that. You got to come over here and hug us all. You know? Especially Mark. You got to hug Clifton, who loves that so much.
I do not love that. All right.
All right. So you've done everything that you can. Your church finally has just a little bit of excitement, and your people are starting to invite people to come to church. And you're excited. The family comes, and they visit, and then crickets. They don't come back. And you think, why? You know, done everything that we can. Why is it that visitors don't come back?
I tell you, when I was at Warnell Road, we'd had, 40, 50, 60 people in our sanctuary that seated 500 or 600. And we'd get visitors because the church was located in a wonderful neighborhood and a beautiful big building. And we'd get visitors. And it was so discouraging. They would come and they wouldn't. They wouldn't sign anything or fill anything out or, whatever. And then they would just leave and you'd never see them again.
Yeah.
It was like Star Trek. They got beamed in and beamed out. And they would never, you just, I think, why did they come back? Why didn't they come back? Why did they come in the first? Just give me something.
Yeah.
I would say that a lot of times in the early stages, we had more people not come back than come back.
Mm.
And this is a great article to help you understand why that may happen in your church. 10 reasons, because they looked at some, they did some statistics on people who visited and didn't come back, and these are some of the top 10 reasons why they didn't come back to that church.
Well, the first one is obvious, because we've talked about this so many times, and that is that it's that time that you embarrass them, by an unfriendly and awkward stand-and-greet time in
right.
the worship service.
Exactly.
We
talked about this in an earlier podcast. There are a few exceptions to this. That would be knowing your church culture, some ethnic cultures,
sure.
language cultures.
Sure.
If you do not acknowledge a new person, that's rude.
Yes.
So you need to understand that. There's some. But in most of our regular North American, Western, Anglo culture, you don't want to acknowledge a new person in a group and make them feel odd and stand out and say, if you're here for the first time, would you please stand up? Which is what we did the whole time I was a kid.
Yeah.
We have an usher who would like to hand you a card and place a red ribbon on you that says visitor.
That's right. I forgot about the ribbon.
So you put the red ribbon on your coat that says visitor and let's all greet our visitors. There was a time, even probably in the 1950s or 60s, that seemed normal. It ain't normal today.
No.
So later on, what we did is we said, let's have all of our visitors remain seated and the rest of us stand up.
Yeah.
Well, that's a real good view, looking at everybody's backside.
Yeah.
And so just the awkwardness and you got to be really careful about this in a normative-sized church, guys. Listen to me. A lot of your people like that meet and greet moment. I'm not a big fan of it. I think it breaks the temperature of the worship service, but it just becomes kind of just a talk and chat, and you got to get everybody back together again.
Yep.
I don't like it. But what it can do in a normative-sized church, it can make a visitor feel really conspicuous, because while somebody may turn around and go, hey, we're glad you're here, everybody else is carrying on intense conversations.
Mm-hmm,
obviously,
yes.
They know each other, they're happy, and it makes you feel really disconnected, because that's not happening to you.
And Martin, you and I, you more than I, but both of us find ourselves as visitors in churches at times, as guest speakers and stuff. Showing up to a church for the first time is already uncomfortable.
It's already uncomfortable.
And this, the meet and greet time can make that exponentially more uncomfortable.
Yeah. If you're a kind of an introverted person anyway, or uncomfortable around church people, the worst thing you can imagine is some pastor up there to say, okay, everybody turn around and talk to this person that just showed up and greet them, or stand up, or somehow or another. Obviously, guys, in this day and age, you simply want to say, hey, in the church program is our website and our phone number, our text, call us, text us, and here's a QR code. You can download everything about us. If you'd like us to pray for you, there's a place to fill that out. And I always would say this, We want you to get to know us at the speed that you're comfortable. You're in the driver's seat if you're here for the first time. If you'd like to talk with us today, text us. We'll talk to you before you leave church. If you want to find out about us, you've got it all there in the bulletin. You can find out about us as you want. Do it at your... People want that kind of freedom, I think. Okay, number two reason people don't come back. Are you ready? Give it to us.
Unfriendly.
Do you have a testimony, Dave?
Church members. No, I don't have a testimony to it. I have a complaint.
Okay.
And the complaint is people think they're friendly.
Yeah, they do.
But they're not.
No.
You know, they're friendly to the people that they know.
Yes.
But they're it's awkward if you don't know somebody. You don't want to just walk up to them and go, hi, how are you? You know, you're not going to do that. And so what I'll tell you what I tell my people to do. We call it our contact team. And our contact team is I have the room, the auditorium is set up in sections, and each of them are responsible for a section. And if somebody comes and sits in their section that they don't know, they make it a point to stop by before we start and say hello to them and welcome. You know, I'm delighted you're here. Do you know somebody here in our church? You know, just conversational stuff. Yep. But it's not like a quiz.
No.
It's just conversational type stuff, and they get their name. Then they fill out a card. They don't have the visitor fill out the card. They go back and they fill out a card with their name.
That's a good idea.
And they give it to us.
Yeah.
And so now we have that information, and we can just send them something if we want to.
And I'm going to jump ahead because he touches on this, but this fits into the unfriendly. Train your people, pastors, that if someone's sitting in their seat, it's okay.
Leave them
alone. Leave them alone. Yeah. Slide next to them. Sit in the pew somewhere else. He mentions that specifically later on, but I think that falls into the unfriendly because there's nothing less friendly
than
walking
up
and saying, oh, this is where I sit. You're in my seat.
Yeah. There's another unfriendly church member thing because I actually saw this one time. I couldn't believe it, but... someone shared this with me. They sent me a picture of it, that they came into the church as visitors with some young children, like toddler-age children, and the lady sitting next to them took her bulletin where it said, nursery is provided, and circled it with their pen and passed it over to her.
Oh, my.
Maybe really thinking she was being helpful, frankly. Yeah. I would imagine she thought, well, these people don't know we have a nursery.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those kinds of, you got to help your church members understand how to be nice, what to say. You know, Stetzer always says, people aren't looking for a friendly church because everybody says, oh, we're a friendly church. They're looking for people who are friends.
Yeah. Right.
And listen to what Rainer says. This is worth listening to the podcast right here, this sentence. Most church members do not view themselves from the perspective of church guests.
Ooh.
They don't usually speak to church guests because they really don't know them. Church members may say hello, and then they will retreat to the comfort of a holy huddle to the people they already know.
Yeah.
And that's what I said before. They, you know, we say hi to everybody. Yes, you do. And then you go off and you all are engaged in deep conversation. Yeah. And the new people sit there and just look around like nobody's talking to me.
And this is where, again, something that Mark Halleck says all the time is helpful here. You know, if it's uncomfortable, if it's awkward for you to go and have conversations with new folks,
lean into it.
Yes, lean into the awkward. Just embrace it because they're already feeling awkward. You're going to feel awkward. You just go up and you say, hi, welcome. You know, tell them who you are, help them find restrooms or classrooms or nursery or whatever, but embrace that awkwardness and really help them feel at home.
Number four, no place to get pertinent information on the church. Man, guests are trained by the experiences to look for a welcome center or for some information. But here's the catch. Some churches don't give that to them. There is no place. There's no table. There's no desk. There's no welcome center. There's no place visible that tells the first-time guest, here's where you can pick up information about our church. That also says we weren't expecting you to be here, frankly.
And we don't know what to do with you.
And we don't know what to do with you. Number five.
We missed number three.
Number three?
Yeah.
Oh, number three. Yes, thank you. Number three. unsafe and unclean children's area. Yep. We talked about this in a previous podcast.
Yeah.
But this even if they don't take their kids, even if they don't drop their kids off there, if they take a look at it and it looks like a flea market with old toys and it's not safe, they're going to not come back.
Yeah.
You've got to have a safe, clean children's area. That's so important.
If you're in your 40s and the toys in the nursery are the same ones that you played with as a kid, it's probably time to update them.
Yeah, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts. Please, guys, please, please, please call your area missionary or your state convention today and say, we need help in our children's ministry. Could you connect us to a large church in our association, our city, that has a paid church children's ministry director? And could they send somebody out to my church to do an audit of my children's space and tell me what toys should not be in there, what equipment should not be in there, what we need to change? Don't ask somebody in your church to do that. Get a professional to do it. You don't need Ninja Turtles in your preschool. You don't need Transformers in your children's area. Why? Because the church is supposed to be a different place. Mm-hmm. And when kids come in there, you don't want them to be thinking about Ninja Turtles and
it's not a playground.
It's not a playground. You have blocks. You have generic blocks. You have puzzles that have scenes of Bible stories. You have a home living area that has a kitchen and some pots and pans. You have some cars and trucks. And in that, you're trying to teach children while they play who God is, what God does. That's kind of hard to do with Ninja Turtles, right? And so sometimes people just bring their old toys and say, well, the kids can play with these. And if many parents will look in there, and if they see something that looks institutional and clean, they go, well, this place has a plan. If they see a box of old toys, I'm not going to put my kid in there. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other story for another day. But, man, that's one of the reasons people do not come back if they have children, if they do not see your children's area as safe, clean, and productive. Okay, what's the next one?
Well, we're talking number five, and we kind of touched on this the other day a little bit. But and Kyle was, before we got started here, we were just talking about this very thing. A bad church website.
Or no church website.
Yeah.
I know. There are some churches still don't have them, which is really odd.
Listen, you do, and we said this in a previous episode. You do not have to have a fancy church website with bells and whistles and moving graphics, but you need to have at least a landing page that has service times, contact information, staff members' info. Like, let people know, because they are looking your church up before they're walking through the front door.
That's right.
And it doesn't have to be a great expense, but you need something that folks can find basic information
and
about your church.
I must tell you, in a normative-sized church, some of you guys listening to me, the problem is you've got somebody at your church who, quote, does the website, and they don't do it well.
Right.
I think that's where you lean into your associational missionary, and you say, does the association have somebody that can help us with the website?
Yep.
And then you tell your church member, look, thank you, but my association has someone helping churches with websites. Find some way to get it out of the hand of the person who doesn't run it very well, doesn't keep it updated. I know a lot of pastors listening to us, they don't do the website. They've got a member who does, and the member doesn't change it. He doesn't update it. He puts little funny clip art on it. It's a problem. So,
and if that's you right now, go check out your church website.
Yeah.
Go see what's on it.
And again, lean into your association or even your state convention and say, can you guys find some way to help me through this? And they'll help you navigate.
At the very least, you need to have the who, what, why, and where on the front page. Not your doctrinal statement.
Not on the front page.
You can have a tab for that.
Right.
But people that are looking for a church or that are new in the area or have heard about your church, oh, I want to go check that out.
It might be good. This is just my bias. I would probably on the one page where you see it, I agree, you need the location, the service times, the pastor, I believe, and maybe a line, you know, you might say Warner Road Baptist Church or Warner Road Church if you don't have Baptist in your name. But then I think I would put the initials SBC. Only because if they don't know what SBC means, they don't care.
Doesn't matter.
But if they do, then they'll immediately know, okay, that's a Southern Baptist. It's a little frustrating sometimes when I can't figure out what this church is. That's a big deal. I mean, I'm sorry, but you're trying to hide your... Are you charismatic? Are you hardcore reformed? Are you non-denominational? what are you? And sometimes I can look at even some of our Baptist church websites, and I can't tell. You know, I have to really look and see where the pastor went to school to try to get some idea. Right. I mean, what is up with this? You don't have to, like Dan says, you don't have to like put it boldly across your top banner, but somewhere on your website, there ought to be some clues to people who are interested in that, that you are SBC or you're Assembly of God or you're non-denominational is, which is a whole other topic for another day.
One more thing about this too.
Yes.
Be careful about the pictures that you put on.
Oh, yeah.
When you start putting pictures of your people on the website, make sure they're good pictures.
And be careful about, and I got to be careful about stealing pictures off other people's
websites. Oh, yeah.
There was a day when that could be done, but it shouldn't be done anymore.
Well, yeah. And then using stock photos, pretending like this is these are people in our church.
Yeah.
You're lying.
Yeah.
You're just a big, bold-faced liar when you do that.
All right.
Just be honest about it.
Right. You know, I did a you remember the first promo I did? I planted a church in Blue Springs, Missouri called Castle Woods Baptist Church in 1983, and Dan came up to be my worship pastor, and I did a brochure. I need to dig it up and bring it here to our podcast called I'm Excited.
Yeah.
The cover's a threefold brochure, and the cover of it said, I'm excited. And you opened it up, and it said, about the new Castleview Baptist Church. And I had photographs of the seven or eight people that we had in our church at that time. And I had their picture, and then why they were excited about it. And I'm excited about it. And I remember I gave that to you, and you were so gracious. You were in advertising and radio, and you, yeah, that's a... That's a piece right there, isn't it?
It took a lot of work.
It took a lot of work. So I've looked at that since then. I thought, what a stupid... I'm excited! Of all things, you know. I'm excited about Castleview coming. It's amazing how God blesses us anyway.
Yeah, in spite of
that
ourselves.
That was the corniest looking brochure you could ever...
Yeah, that church grew.
You know what? If I find that, we can post it on the show notes, that I'm excited.
That takes us to number six, by the way.
Because I am excited.
Beyond a bad church website.
I'm excitable.
Let's talk about your signage.
Yes.
What does a sign in front of your church say?
If you've ever been attending your church for a few weeks, you don't need a sign. But guests need signs.
Yeah.
They need to know directional signs for parking. They need to know signs for guest parking. They need to know signs of which door do I go in for the worship center. They need to know signs for where are the restrooms. They need to know signs for where are the children's areas. As we said in a previous podcast, down every hallway, if you've never been down that hallway before, you need to have a sign that says restrooms, worship center, children's area, parking lot. And boy, even normative-sized church buildings have multiple doors, multiple stairways, multiple hallways.
Oh, yeah.
And very few of them have layouts that make sense.
They don't have any. Yeah, that's true.
I went to one church that had the right idea, but they were trying to be clever and cute with it, and it backfired on them. They had the You Are Here signs, like maps of the church building and everything.
Yeah.
And in the auditorium, the main auditorium, they had... If you walked in the door, there right in the door on the side of, let's say you walked in the side of the building, there'd be a sign that says "This is that you are here" type sign. And then on the auditorium, the diagram of the auditorium they had, it said "You are not here, but you should be."
Oh no!
Well, and again, this is where it would be helpful to have somebody come in and do an audit of your church signs.
Yeah, the signage.
Because so one of the churches that I pastored, when you came in the main door, the only way to get to the nursery, which is on the back side of the building from where you came in, was to go through the sanctuary or through the fellowship hall.
There
was a Sunday school class that met in the fellowship hall.
Oh, wow.
And so I pointed folks through the sanctuary to the nursery. And a longtime church member came, why are you having them go that way? Why? Because they should just go through the fellowship hall. I said, well, there's a Sunday school class that meets in the fellowship hall. We don't want them feeling like they're interrupting
the
class.
That's awkward.
You've got to have somebody with an outsider's mindset come in to help you think through the best way to navigate through your
building. In this day and age, with all the cheap ways of making signs, you don't have to have them painted anymore or whatever. You can go to any Fast Signs or whatever and get them done, even Kinko's or whatever. You need to have a certain font and color that is your church, and every sign in your church needs to be the same font, the same color. So there's an institutional look to it, which looks permanent, looks like there was some thought put in it. You know, years ago, I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. Years ago, Dan's dad did a revival for me when I was at Castleview, and he was the music guy there. And I rented one of these portable, changeable marquees that you pull behind a trailer, and put it out in front of our church. It said Revival with Harold Hurst, 7 p.m. nightly. Well, Dan found the letters in the church office for that sign. I show up on Sunday morning, and it said milk $1.28 a gallon, cigarettes $3.99 a pack.
That's so wrong. I'm so ashamed of that.
Goodness gracious.
Even more ashamed that you bring it back up again.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's
talk about this one.
Seven.
We are so guilty of this. Insider church language.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We have a different language than our guests have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to be really, really careful about that.
We do. For example, we even may say, and there's nothing wrong with WMU. That's a good organization.
Sure.
But if we say, now the WMU meets next Thursday night, you've got some people and new people in that church. They know what that is. Go ahead and call it. We have a women's missionary union meeting next Thursday night. Be careful about, or we got something else going on. Be careful about using code words that only your members would know on a Sunday morning. Be sure to spell it out. So if you're giving those, and we talked about announcements, don't give many announcements anyway. But even in your bulletin, I would try not to use initials and things like that that only the inside folks know about.
Yeah.
I think that's
refers
important.
So if you have a Family Life Center that you call the FLC,
exactly,
spell it out.
Thank you.
Not everybody knows what that stands for.
That's a very good word.
And you would be surprised with what they come up with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Think, oh, that's what that must be.
Yes. That's right. Good word.
All right. Well, we don't want to. We're almost out of time, so we need to go through this quickly.
Go
but
quick.
We really need to hammer on this one. Boring or bad church services. That's a reason people don't come back.
It is. We talked in a previous podcast that we sleepwalk through church services.
Yeah.
We don't put any real passion and thought into them. Boring does not mean your music isn't good.
Right.
It means the power of the Holy Spirit's not there. Mm-hmm. There's not some expectancy that God's going to do something every time we show up, that He is actually here. We're not asking Him to join us to be in this service. We're thrilled and excited that He's promised to be among us. And as we gather this morning, the risen Christ is here. We may not have a choir. We may not have a worship team. We may not have a decent piano player. We may not have a decent sound system. We may not have very many people in this sanctuary this morning. But let me tell you something. We have the risen Christ and all of His resurrected power. Anything can happen today.
Yeah.
That's how you don't have a boring worship service.
Yeah.
It's not
and
about the other things.
I mean, you expect that something is going to happen.
That's right.
And you anticipate it. And number nine, members telling guests they're in the wrong pew or chair. Yeah, we've already talked on that
one. It does. So. Or even if they just kind of say it jokingly. Hey, you're in my chair today. You're in my pew today.
Or even give a dirty look.
Yeah.
Like just tell your folks, just go sit somewhere else.
And lastly, and this is so important, dirty facilities.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, it's sometimes you walk in and not only the way it looks, but the way it smells. Sort of a musty old smell from like old hymnals and old Sunday school literature and old curtains and dusty old silk plants, old carpet.
Yeah.
It and the church is maybe shut up 3 or 4 days a week. It can smell musty.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And for us walking in, it just smells like our church building.
Yeah.
Yep.
But for a new person, like, wow, this is not a good smell. So think about the smell. Think about the dirt. Think about the lighting. You know, a lot of times lighting from the mid-century was not very good lighting. Lighting's so cheap today, man. Change out those lights. Get some good bright lights in there. Get some good stage lights on there so you got good lighting. Think about the lighting. That lighting can change the whole atmosphere of a church.
Right.
So those kinds of things.
You can't do anything about the age of your facility, right? Some facilities are older, and they show that they're older. But you can do something about the cleanliness of your facility.
Yes, and the way it smells and the way it's lit.
Yep.
Yep.
And don't underestimate the value of a new coat of paint.
Right. And something new on the walls. Go to IMB or NAM or your state convention. Find some good high-res photos of mission activities taking place right now, today, and put those things on the walls of your sanctuary, of your fellowship hall, of your hallway, of your vestibule, so that people who walk in realize there's something happening now. Maybe it's not happening at our church, but it's happening in a area of work that we're a part of.
So you mean that that wall that has all the pictures of the dead pastors is a no-no?
When I was at Warnell, I took the dead pastors' pictures down. I did. They were all there. That's what you saw when you first walked in. And most of them, some of them, only had a year on their, they were there from 1981 to 1982. There's a story there. But anyway, So I eventually took all those down. That's another story for another day. And I put up pictures of what we were doing right now, block parties, the feeding the football team on Friday nights, Sunday school classes. So I had all those pictures when you walked in the hallway. And then the last thing I put, and my wife was depressed about it, I put a mirror. And I put a sign under the mirror that said, "Can't you picture yourself with us?"
Oh, no.
I did.
Oh, man.
Not every idea I have is a good idea.
We need to do an episode sometime and just talk about, like, Clifton's, maybe call it, "It seemed like a good idea
Clifton's,
at the time."
Clifton's
like, just the bad
Clifton,
ideas yeah. through the year.
By the way, you can always count on people in your church for photography.
That's right.
There are people in the church that love photography.
I still think walking down, looking at all those pictures, and then looking at yourself and saying, "Can't you picture yourself with us?"
Goodness, right.
I thought that was a good idea at the time.
Yeah,
I still think it's a good idea.
What a way to end this podcast, all right? Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for listening today, and we hope that it's been helpful, not depressing. But these are things that that we just get into habits to, and sometimes we just overlook because we're so busy or we're so focused on other things, and we miss these little things that our guests see, and that affects whether or not they come back. We hope it makes a difference for you.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.